Hey guys, tonight we got a good one. I'm interviewing Dave and Paolo, which are two of the owners of Musto Tequila. And they're going to talk about the process of how they got into the tequila business. We're going to talk about how this is made. We're even going to talk about Oscar Vazquez, their awesome master distiller, and talk about what they have coming up in the future because they have some great products coming. So stick around and enjoy this one with Musto Tequila. Cheers. Hey guys, Paolo, Dave, great to see you tonight. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Brad. Nice to see you. Just excited and thank you for the invitation to your podcast. I'm pretty excited to get some of the word on Musto out there. This is our first one, so very excited about that.
Hey, thank you very much, Brad, for having us on.
Well, I'm excited to have you on, and I love kind of breaking these new brands that are out, especially when they're as good as yours is. You know, the juice itself is fantastic. So I'm really excited about really finding out a little bit more about you guys and also about your brand. So you guys can, whoever wants to go first, if you could tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what's kind of your journey in agave spirits and tequila. How did you get started in drinking tequila and agave spirits?
I can start with that one. So my name is Paolo Benavides. I'm a native of Jalisco, Degollado, Jalisco, to be more specific. That's a town that's bordering Michoacán and Guanajuato. And basically been around tequila all my life growing up. My dad used to have a small restaurant.
No, that's, you know, my name's Dave Michelo, and I've been in Richmond for about 20 years. But I'm a native Virginian from Northern Virginia. And, you know, I'm a fan of tequila. I would say that I was just a moderate fan of tequila and, you know, tequila in cocktails, but not as I am now of sipping fine tequila. It's a whole new world. And as Paolo said, you know, I have a brewery here in Richmond called the Vale Brewing Company. And we just, we opened in 2006. We have three tasting rooms / restaurants in the state of Virginia, two in Richmond and one in Norfolk. And that's the genesis of my involvement in tequila is when the Vale wanted to partner with a restaurateurs for our second location here. And we reached out to Paolo and Nelson, who we were fans of their other restaurants and we knew of them. And so we connected and decided to partner on a restaurant called Y Tu Mama inside of our, and inside of one of our locations here in Richmond. And right away they started talking about tequila and Jalisco, and just asking us if we would just travel back to their hometown, you know, and maybe get involved in tequila, or let's just talk more about it. But it was really just inviting us to Degollado and some of the other beautiful towns that are in the highlands of Jalisco.
So had you been to some of those towns in Jalisco? Have you ever been to that area of Mexico before? You went with
I had not been to Mexico, even resort Mexico. Wow. Prior to 2020. And my first time in, it was Mexico City. We went and saw Mexico versus the U.S. at Azteca. And then we spent a few days in Roma Norte, a beautiful neighborhood in Mexico City. And then we flew to Guadalajara and drove up. It was my first trip up into the highlands, into Los Altos. And we spent time, we stopped along the way and some really cool towns in Tepa and on en route to Degollado. And yeah, it's been, you know, being able to, you know, meet Paolo and Nelson's grandparents and parents and stay over, you know, stay with the parents while we're there, and then travel, into these other towns. I mean, I think the main location when we go into the first few times where we would just stay in Arandas. I see your shirt. So yeah, we would stay in Arandas but I've been to all those towns, you know, that dot the landscape of Los Altos. You know, our distillery is in Jesus Maria, and yeah, so it's been a blessing, and I feel really fortunate to be welcomed as a family, you know, as like I'm part of the family. And to, we've also gone into Los Valles. We went to Tequila. That's where we got like, you know, like a certification, and we spent a few days in a class there and toured some of the larger facilities, and then also spent some time in beautiful, like, what was the lake, Paolo? We just went to Chapala.
Chapala.
And Chapala, yep. And Tequila. So, yeah. it's so beautiful. Into your blood. You want to go back. So I'm looking forward. You're going during Independence in September. So that'll be so much fun.
Yeah, I it is a blessing to get to go visit these areas and meet the people in the towns and the churches on the squares of each town. And yeah. The people are so inviting and nice, and it's amazing. It's a real blessing, and the people are amazing.
I think when you mentioned, you know, about the locals and the people, I think that's definitely like a focus that we want to, especially here regionally, because we're such a small batch brand, you know, here in a controlled state like Virginia, trying to get the word out and, you know, like educate people about good tequilas, which can be a little bit harder in states like Virginia. And that's the essence, I think, is also that local feel like family type of situation you get in a small town, because we're from a small town in Jalisco, and being able to get that out through tequila, it's amazing, you know. I mean, it starts with the sipping, and then later you just start doing more and more tequila, and you know, it gets fun.
Absolutely. So how did you land at NOM 1580? Did you like search through a lot of different distilleries before you chose one, or did you have like a connection with 1580 already?
You know, funny story, like when I moved back to Mexico, and we kind of started speaking about the project with Mosto, we definitely scouted out some NOMs. Some of them are definitely brand mills. There are certain factories that have quite a big amount of brands there, along with their house brands. But one time I was in a party in my hometown, and somebody brought in some tequila from 1580, some Oro Azul. And I said, man, this is really good. I've never heard of it before. I think in the early 2000s, it was a brand that really took off and then had kind of like disappeared. But he had some bottles of Oro Azul. So I asked him, I'm like, do you know this place? Like, yeah, you know, I know this place through a friend of mine that owns a chicken restaurant, you know, in Jesus Maria. I don't know if you've been there before, but everybody knows El Pollo Santos. And Anita was just so generous. She said, go in there. They're really cool. You know, we know them. And we started basically the next day. I showed up to El Olvido and started talking to them about the project, and just kind of not really knowing the volumes and things like that, because it's really just a small project of ours, right? That we wanted to create really good tequila in a small batch and bring it to Virginia and see where it goes from there. So basically, yeah, was it a party? And through a circumstance like that. But we did go to other places for sure.
So did you instantly meet up with Oscar Vasquez when you were getting started, or did Oscar kind of come along a different way as well?
Came in a different way because, you know, we visited his the distillery where he was working before he, you know, he took on some of his projects. And we just became friends, would talk to him every now and then. Trying to get some bottles from there. Hey, you have this bottle. My friend wants a rare bottle, and you were right there at the distillery. And then one day I reached out to him, and then this is several months later, about something. And he said, you know, I'm no longer there, but if you are needing, you know, some assistance in the profile or something with your brand, you know, I'm open to take on some projects like that. So I said, as a matter of fact, we do need this. And we brought them on board, and you know, they were at 1580. They were really nice to let us include him in this project. And I think it's definitely made the difference as far as the flavor goes. I don't know. I think Dave, you probably agree with me about that, right? It's just took the tequila to me to another level. I mean, just the knowledge that Oscar brings is very valuable.
Yeah, Oscar validates. What Oscar brings is it's his next level. Like Paolo said, Oscar gave us a tour of his the distillery where he was working, and we just all hit it off that day and just stayed in touch with him just as friends. And then the good fortune of his decision to maybe strike out on his own and included us in a small portfolio.
I would like to add too, I think Oscar, we hit it off so well because we're both from small towns, you know, we're from small town Jalisco. And that's like I've said before, that's the very, very essence of it. You know, we're from just homey places where, you know, with people, if you meet somebody from my hometown on the other side of the world, you just, by looking, you know, they're from a small town in Jalisco, and you hit it off, you know. So, you know, he's a young guy. He's a young go-getter for sure. He's, you know, self-taught English, which is something that's very impressive, you know, especially now that he's coming over here to help us out with some tastings and explaining more of the processes and everything. It helps that, you know, that he's able to communicate just that directly. It's a game changer for us for sure.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a lot of fun. And you'll be talked about on my channel a lot more because we just are starting a series. We've recorded one so far where Oscar's going to explain each part of the process of making tequila. How does cooking come into play? How does fermentation and distillation, and what are all the processes that really kind of make these guys, they're kind of like mad scientists, right? So it's gonna be really fun having him do a series. The next one we're doing is going to be just on fermentation. He's gonna explain that process. So I have a feeling you're gonna get talked about a lot.
Nice. Yeah. We don't mind that at all, right?
Well, he's such a nice guy. That's one thing about him. He's so easy to talk to, and he's just got this natural magnetic personality, if you will. So I'm glad you guys hooked up together. So let's talk about your process at 1580. Let's go through the process of like where your agaves come from, because I see it says estate agaves, you know, and what's your cooking method? What's your crushing method? What's your process to make your tequila?
You want to take this one, Dave?
Sure. We're proud of the fact that we are using, I think that this first batch was all from El Oviedo. It's around a 400-acre agave farm. We've got some really cool pictures of us just out in the fields and standing next to a 5-year-old agave and seeing that, looking up to the top of it and knowing that that's the, you know, the maturity level. Obviously, agave can mature at an earlier age, but mostly it's ready and ripe 5 years. And so I think that but Jesus Maria and the special soil, the terroir of Jesus Maria is definitely where our tequila, where our agave will always come from. The traditional cooking methods is stone oven, couple of days, steam cooking, resting for a day, roller mill extraction. It's twice distilled. It's, copper, deep well water on the estate. The reposado, we had about 10,000 liter batch in the rep, and just, I mean, obviously that's the story sort of how the process is. I don't know, Paolo, if you want to add anything to that.
With the reposado? Yeah, so with the reposado, we held 2,500 liters and we took some Willett family estate bourbon barrels down to Mexico and imported those into Mexico. We're using that for the aging, and we put 5 months on this one. Just to keep it at a nice balance, I feel like after 5 months, and our idea was to really have the agave flavor just be the main thing, right? With a lighter profile or a lighter color that is more customary to the tequilas that, you know, that are from this area. You know, there's definitely some tequilas that can be too dark, I think, or too oaky maybe for that. So the plan was just to keep it at a nice balance. It also gives us a way to talk about the tasting, because I think the biggest thing that I like to emphasize is that if you don't have tequila that tastes like agave first and foremost, then I don't really want that. You know what I mean? That's what it's made from. And that's what we're very proud of in Jalisco. I mean, if you've been there, you see the fields and how beautiful it is, right? And so if it doesn't taste like the matter that it's made from, then, you know, it doesn't make too much sense. It also helps that our distillery, you know, has direct lineage to the first people that brought agaves to Los Altos, to Jesus Maria. So that having that experience really helps, you know, to just source the best.
And you are in one of the highest areas of the highlands there. So I definitely get the cooked agave. You know, I've got the repo here that you get this great agave flavor. You got a really nice sweetness from the agave. It's also a little floral to me. And also I get a nice citrus hint. The barrel notes are light, like you're saying. This is the way I like it. I like to have a little bit of oaky, you know, pick up a little bit of that whiskey bourbonish flavor out of it. But your finish is what really got me, because the finish gets really sweet and I pick up cinnamon in the finish. And I love that flavor of cinnamon in a tequila. So you really get like a lot of great spices and a nice mild cinnamon flavor in the finish. That's really good. This is a stand-up tequila. It's really good.
I think it really helps. It's a once used bourbon barrel. The barrel they basically dump once and we use it for the aging process. So that I think has a lot to do with it. I don't know. I think we're very proud. Honestly, you know, with the amount of tequila brands, you know, there's no secret that there's many tequila brands. It's going to be impossible to not be categorized in a tier. And I think we want to be in a tier, not necessarily, you know, it's tough to stand out unless you're making crazy bottles or you're tequila royalty. With us, it's definitely the taste of bringing something to our region here in Virginia, and then us being from a region like Jalisco. If we can be categorized in a certain tier where it's a tequila that is premium and it tastes good, you know, and people are not necessarily buying the fancy bottle or the, you know, the nice stuff like that, you know. So I think we did a good batch.
Yeah, very much so. I would say this is a really high-end traditional tequila. It has all of those traditional flavors, and you know, yep, you're doing the repo the right way. So I'm curious about the name. Where did the name come from?
Yeah, the name was just the one of my partner at the Vale, who's also a partner with Mosto. We were just kicking around names one day, and Matt said Mosto. We loved it right away, and then we didn't really tell anybody about it when we were touring and visiting and sort of interviewing distilleries throughout Jalisco leading up to deciding to work with El Oviedo. Because you would see Mosto on some of the distillation tanks equipment, and you weren't sure, is this okay? Are we using a word that won't be respected in Mexico or wouldn't be? So I think we were a little hesitant to talk about it, but we love the name. We love the way it rolls off the tongue, and that it does mean it is the juice. You know, it is like a direct hit. It's, you know, the term, you know, so simple. It's right there in front of you. I can't think of the word, but, and then when we did work with a law firm in Guadalajara, and who represents El Oviedo, and we told the leadership at El Oviedo, Senora Maria and the management there, they're like, we love the name. So anywhere from, you know, Baltasar, who's one of the other master distillers on site, and like, you know, Senora Maria Lopez, the owner of the distillery, her son Francisco Lopez. So everybody liked it. So it was a kind of, for me, it was a sigh of relief, but that's the name, the story behind the name.
I loved it. When I first seen it, I was like, Mosto, like I like drinking it, the juice right as they're pouring it into the fermentation tanks, you know, and you get a big glass of that juice and drink that. It's like, oh, that's so good. So it transfers over into the tequila very well. It's an awesome name.
Yeah.
If I can add something, I was just going to add that eventually also when we got more into the fermentation process, we talked to Oscar, and actually what I kind of gather from it, that Mosto is sort of like an agave beer, because it gathers a certain amount of alcohol percentage, you know. So it's kind of a little connection there with the Vale brewery. And Matt, I know Matt was loving that part of it. Who Matt Tarpey's the other partner. He's the master distiller, or the master brewer at the Vale.
Yeah, the Mosto is essentially wort, in tequila, as wort is to beer.
Yeah, it's a great tie-in with the beer, too. I didn't even think about that till you said that, but yeah, that's awesome. Did you guys design the logo and the labels yourself? This is really classy and really good looking.
The design was created by a collaboration between Matt Tarpey and the Vale's creative director.
It is really cool.
Yeah, I think it is. It is cool. I think it's a really nice label, and the Blanco label, and then, you know, we have a like a fuerte or a still strength coming out called Savaje. And that label is just even cooler. I mean, it'll fit well within the family. And then we have, you know, we kind of know what Añejo will look like someday, et cetera.
Yeah. And the back logo, is just so, it's just really classy looking, really good looking. It's got some great information on it as well.
I would say that maybe I'm giving too much credit to Matt and our creative director, but because Paolo and Nelson were involved in all this, I have no creative skills or not a creative bone in my body, but Nelson and Paolo also, I would say, have their hands on some of the color palettes, the color schemes, and the some of the ideas about if when you're looking through the O that you can actually see embossed, the agave embossed, and that sort of thing.
The pictures of the fields on the inside are just really cool. Right. I love it when there's more to a bottle than just the outside of it. So you did a great job here. So one of the questions I was going to ask you was, what else do you have coming out? But you spilled the beans on a still strength. So you can hear a whole bunch of people going, yay, because everybody loves still strengths. And then you mentioned Añejo potentially coming. So do you have any other products that you're going to be bringing out in the future?
I believe the Añejo, the extra strength will be here, and it'll come into the U.S. with our next batch of Reposado. And we actually, Oscar, when he was here for a few events around the Cinco holiday in the U.S., and we wore him out. We took him so many spots. I know he got some good sleep when he got back because we had him up late, and we were going from bouncing from place to place to place. I mean, we had him in town, so we wanted everyone that we had been talking to for years to meet him. And so we got to try a little bit of the Salvaje, and I think that's just for us, it's a cooler, that's a beer we can, I mean, that's a tequila that we can bring in right away. I mean, that's one of my favorite things. And when we go to the distilleries like Alambicas or Alteña, or, you know, we're at Dio, you know, we're drinking still strength. We're drinking right out of the finishing tanks. And so we're really proud of our still strength. And then we haven't begun the Añejo process yet, honestly. That can happen on the next, the next batch. But, we're really, really super happy with the, obviously with the Blanco, couldn't be happier though with Reposado. We're really proud of it. And then the still strength is going to be, I think it's a, Oscar's done a great job.
I was actually speaking with Oscar when he was here. We were messaging back and forth. I said, do you have a, cause he answered me. I had a question. I sent it over and like a day later he answered me and I said, have you been really busy? And he's like, oh my gosh. And he's like, yes, I'm busy. One of his phrases I love that he says, I was busy, but at the end of the day, I was helping the people at the end of the day that are my friends. Says,
that's how like you might filter that out if I say but like Paolo said, it's self-taught, and that's his go-to phrase. But at the end of the day?
At the end of the day.
He says, I love it. And, No, I mean, he had to speak to so many. We introduced Oscar to so many of our customers and the licensees and, owners of, all these restaurants and cool concepts. But we also, we had him at Chicatana on Monday night on the 5th, and he had to deal with, we're pouring. He must have had to talk to 100 people, and they wanted to talk to him. And that's when you really heard, at the end of the day, you got a lot of that. He was exhausted. We all went out and had a cigar and drank Topo Chico's and just kind of tried to unwind a little bit.
That's incredible.
And then it happened to be his birthday, so then we had to celebrate also. So, everything worked out.
Yeah, that was the other thing I said to him. After we were talking, I was like, hey, isn't today your birthday? Like, happy birthday. And he said, thank you. And I said, so are you taking the day off today? And he's like, no, I'm not taking the day off.
He's hungry, man. Brad, yeah, I like that.
Brad, I may have missed it when you and Paolo were talking, but how did you and Oscar become friends?
Well, my last trip to Arandas, we were invited over to one of the other distilleries that he works at as well. And we spent the day with him and another master distiller that maybe has people drink too much during the day. And so Oscar was with us all day. We went from there to Jaime's there in Arandas.
The carnita place, the carnitas at Jaime's. Yeah. Yeah. Delicious.
Right across the street from the distillery we were at. And the next morning, Oscar asked us, hey, what are the other days that you're here? And our Saturday, we didn't have anything booked for the whole day. And We just spent the day with Oscar. He took us through 1412 and really shared, you know, his story and how he started this and all the things he does working in the schools and working with kids and working so hard in the industry. He was just a treat. I have tequila questions and he always tells me to ask him whenever, you know, I have a question. And so we've just really built a friendship from that.
Brad, I was going to say, you definitely have to mark your calendar for Independence Day in Mexico in Arandas. I would say it's probably the biggest and the most fun party in Mexico and just being in that area. September 16th is the Independence Day. And, you know, whoever is watching this, listening to this, I think it's really, if you want to see like really real Mexico, our area of Mexico, that day, you know, you could do September 15th through the 17th in Arandas. And it's going to, I think it just changes your perception on our culture, you know, specifically from the area where we're from. And if you go with us or you go with somebody else, it won't hurt our feelings, but you just have to experience it, okay?
That's my wife and I's 36th year wedding anniversary, and we were planning on being in Arandas. So we will be there in Arandas.
It is amazing, man. It's a great, great time. Horses, you know, the area where we're from in Mexico, it not only is it tequila or agave production there, but there's a lot of, it's the country, you know, it's country Mexico. A lot of the farming, corn, every other kind of farming that you can think of, also animals, the cows, you know, all the stuff. And it really comes together that those days. Of course, every town also has its own like patron saint festivities. In Arandas, that's going to be in January. It's an amazing time too. It's a really, really good time. I would say I prefer, because of the weather, it's not as cold, maybe not as chilly. I prefer the September festivities there in Arandas. It's all done in the downtown area of Arandas. It's 3-4 blocks and it's everybody having a good time.
We'll be there. So that's pretty exciting. The town is so full of life on the weekends anyway. When we were there, it wasn't a holiday, but everybody came into town, you know, Saturday. It got really busy at all the markets and everybody was dressed up and looked nice. And then Sunday, we were walking to one of the restaurants to eat before we flew home. And the churches were standing room only, people all the way standing outside of them. And, you know, I don't know, it's just different than what we see here. It's such a tradition and respect. Yeah. And the people are amazing.
Every town in Mexico, you know, and here you have a lot of big open spaces or public spaces, usually in the big big cities, right? New York, Los Angeles, you have these big parks. The difference in Mexico, even the small towns have these public spaces that it's not necessarily a commercial area. It's just like somebody is, it's a big park and you know, you can go to small towns and it's like you said, it's full of life, you know, especially on the weekends. It's just an everyday thing.
So if you could real quick, tell me where people can get your product. Where's the best place for somebody that's not in Virginia that wants to try this out?
For now, we're in Virginia. We're in 200 Virginia ABC stores.
Okay.
There are 400 in Virginia. We're in 200 of them across the state, especially the ones right just bordering the District of Columbia, you know, D.C. or Maryland. So folks in D.C. and Maryland can come across. Same with North Carolina. We're another border state. We're in the what they call special orders in North Carolina. So we get a couple cases a week ordered from North Carolina, from all over the state. And then we, you know, we send those down next day ground. And we're in, you know, in D.C., the restaurants and bars that carry us also have the privilege. They have privileges. They can sell it as well. So there are probably a dozen restaurants that have our tequila and have back stock and that are, you know, that can then sell to, you know, a customer. And then really what's really daunting for us and what's happening right now is we're just talking with small wholesalers, distributors, regional, and then the big boys, national. And so we've had multiple meetings with a dozen distributors and we're kind of going that this really is learning a lot right now. So we'd like to take it slowly, and at a reasonable pace and not get too far ahead of ourselves and be able to represent it. So like if it, we don't want it just in a shelf in some state, five states away and with no one talking about it. Cause we've been living it for 3.5 years and now it's here and it's having reasonable success. And okay, but part of it's the fact that we getting the story and having someone understand what it, you know, not just our tequila, but just understanding what's coming out of Jesus Maria or what's coming out of Arandas, what's coming out of, you know, Tepa, you know, Diego. So
yeah,
I think that's, it's kind of limited to Virginia right now. And we're not on any kind of e-commerce platform yet.
I thought you were. So you're not on an e-commerce platform yet?
No, I think with the next batch that's coming, that's something that we're going to eventually roll out. I think the best thing is to honestly to follow it on our online, on our website, mostoftequila.com, or on our social media. We just have to find the right amount, you know, have the right batch volume so we can actually have the stuff out there. I think with the first batch, it kind of went out. It sold fairly quickly, which I guess is a good problem to have, you know, but eventually that's definitely a route to go. You know, somebody that wants it in California can do it. But right now, I think the focus is definitely very, very regional and having the opportunity to go to the bars, to licensees here and educate people also on the product. You know, it's sort of like an uphill battle trying to, you know, tequila. Some people have had the worst hangover of their lives back in the days, you know, so they're scared of the name itself. So right now we like to have that control and going to places and showing them, hey, this is 100% agave. This is the way it should taste, real tequila. So definitely keeping it regional, you know, as part of that.
Well, you're doing a great job. I love the tequila. I'll probably have to figure out somebody to call to say, hey, I want to buy more, ship it here. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'll just have to drive to Virginia. I guess
come on down.
Virginia in a while. It's a beautiful state. Well, I definitely appreciate you guys taking the time tonight. I know you guys are busy, especially with all the other things you do with the hospitality business and the restaurants and the beer business. So I really appreciate you taking your time to do this and share with people. And we'll have a review coming up as well that'll hopefully have people come back and watch this show again. And like I said, Oscar is going to be on talking about the processes of making tequila. So we'll be sure to highlight Musto and talk about your brand. So I really appreciate it, guys. I hope this was fun for you guys.
Thanks, Brad. It was a lot of fun.
No worries. Salute. I'm at least drinking your tequila tonight.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Bye.